And from the KTOO newsroom here in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this news. A labor dispute in Skagway between White Pass Yukon Route and its railroad workers has ended. On Wednesday, both parties signed an agreement that will keep the trains going and the workers on the job. KHNS's Alan DePremenil has more.
Rail workers for the White Pass and Yukon Route have sought a wage increase to keep up with the cost of living in Skagway.
Negotiations began 6 years ago.
Jason Geiler works on the company's trains, taking tourists through the mountains and into Canada. He switches between positions. Sometimes he is the engineer, sometimes the brakeman, or the conductor. He is also the union representative for the more than 25 people who work the same positions. He has taken part in the negotiations with their employer.
Started at the end of 2017, and with such a change that's happened in our environment, obviously, with COVID and with the sale of the organization in 2018. And obviously, there have been several factors that have allowed for that delay all the way until now.
Geiler says the workers had not gotten a raise in over 6 years. So, earlier this month, they voted to go on strike if their demands were not met. But there was another sticking point. Tyler Rose is the executive director at White Pass and Yukon Route.
You know, what we were looking at was, you know, with technology into the future, the potential for something through attrition.
Rose says the company considered phasing out the brakeman position on the train. He says that position could have been automated. Geiler says the workers disagreed.
That brakeman role, that third individual on board the trains, is a critical one.
He says with only three people responsible for the safety of up to 600 passengers, employees didn't want to see that position eliminated.
Though automation works in some areas and has, in some capacity, been used in a freight line to success, just doesn't work when you add the human factor into it.
Rose says the company conceded.
It really is that balance between efficiencies and what makes sense, and then managing the workforce in a positive way.
Eventually, the parties drafted an agreement. The brakeman position would remain, health benefits would be maintained, and workers would see a wage increase. Rose says he is pleased with the agreement.
It's a substantial wage increase that we're pleased with, and our employees are pleased with, and we're just very happy to be moving forward on this.
Geiler says an overwhelming majority of the workers voted to support the agreement.
We look forward to being able to work together and move into the future, resting assured knowing that we're able to enjoy those successes together with the organization.
The agreement will be up for review in 2027. For KHNS, I'm Alan DePremenil.
Juneau Police Chief Ed Mercer is retiring next week after three decades in law enforcement in Southeast Alaska. Mercer was born and raised in Sitka, where he started his career as a police officer. He's worked for the Juneau Police Department since coming to town in the year 2000, and he's led the department for the last 6 years. Mercer is Tlingit of the Raven Coho clan. He was Juneau's first Alaska Native police chief. His time in charge saw the department through major shifts in technology and in national and local conversations around policing, as well as a global pandemic. KTOO's Adeline Baxter spoke with Chief Mercer about his upcoming retirement and some of the biggest changes he's experienced in his career, including the growing challenge of recruiting new officers.
It's very hard to find people to want to go into law enforcement and go out and do the job. It is a tough job, but it's a very rewarding job. I mean, you have to look for those small little things that are rewarding in the career as far as it goes. I never thought I'd ever have to work through a pandemic and how that really was challenging. If you think about it, where people were pulling back and staying in their homes, well, the police couldn't do that. They had to be out there on the street. They had to be out there serving the public for calls for service. Nothing really changed in that arena. And things got challenging. I mean, people look out for their own well-being, and having your officers go out there and be the front line and provide the service. I'm happy to say that we did it, and we did it like we were not in a pandemic, and we just try to put precautionary things in place to protect our staff while they're out there.
One of your staff was on Juno Afternoon recently, and they brought up kind of a unique thing that I hadn't thought about before, which is the fact that officers in Juno live and work in their community, and that's not always the case in other communities around the country. How do you think it sort of impacts the way that policing happens in Juno?
I think it's for the better, because regardless if you're a police officer or working at the police department, you're part of the community. Your children go to the same schools. You go to some of the same functions within the community. You engage in the community in that fashion. So you're part of the community, opposed to going into a community and policing and then leaving, where you really don't have that connectivity. And you're absolutely right. I mean, throughout my whole law enforcement career, growing up in Sitka, becoming a police officer there, and then having to help police the community with the people I grew up with, that was a little tricky, a little awkward initially. But I think you build trust and rapport with the people you serve, and they get a little bit better over time. And I think that's what the community of Juno gets when you have a Juno police officer show up to your door, or you call and ask for their assistance, or you just see them out in the public.
You were Juno's first Alaska Native chief of police. I wonder if you've noticed changes in terms of the recruitment and how that is reflected in the makeup of police forces in Juno and other parts of the state, more Alaska Native and Indigenous officers, how that can lead to better policing overall.
Always trying to find people of all different races to come into the police department is a good thing as far as it goes, and having that. At one time, I think we had upward of 5 Alaska Natives with stateside Indian on the police force. Several of them retired, including myself coming up. So I think that's an area that we need to continue to strive for and try to solicit. We need women police officers to go out and do the job as well. I know we were above the national average when it came to that. And I think it's important for us to try to get diversity within our police department, so that, you know, you relate to the community in which you are out there serving and whatnot. But it's a big challenge. It's nothing that's going to be easy. I think you have to break barriers and stereotypes as far as what a police officer looks like. And I hope that, you know, myself and other minority officers are doing that, so that people and young minds could look at that and go, maybe that's something I can do, and be that role model in that way.
What is most important for, you know, whoever replaces you to keep in mind when taking over the helm of the Juno Police Department?
You know, we did a lot of good things at this agency, and I don't take credit for it all, but you need somebody who's going to be progressive in their thinking as far as trying to stay ahead of things. I was very proud, especially when we went through the very controversial George Floyd incident. A lot of the demands that was asked of the Juno Police Department, we already had those things put in place. We had body-worn cameras. We had use of force reporting. We were able to articulate what we're doing out there on a daily basis and provide that data to the public, so that we could have reassurance in our trust that we are doing the right thing and whatnot. So having somebody that is always forward thinking.
Well, thank you so much, Chief Mercer, and happy retirement.
Oh, thank you.
That was Juno Police Chief Ed Mercer speaking to KTOO's Adeline Baxter ahead of his retirement. Deputy Chief David Campbell will serve as interim police chief starting on Monday until the next permanent chief is selected. Well, it reached 71 degrees yesterday in Juno. That's a bit warmer than the normal temperature of 65. The record for the day was set back in 1982 when it was 81 degrees. Still, it's going to be a very nice summer weekend here in Juno. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 53 and a little breezy. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour tonight. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny again with a high near 70. Clouds might move in overnight tomorrow with a low around around 52, but the sun will be back on Sunday with another high near 70. The next chance of rain on the horizon is Sunday night and into Monday, but that's at a 30% chance right now. So let's focus on what's happening in the meantime. 73 degrees right now and a little hazy at Juneau International Airport. You can find tonight's stories and so much more at ktoo.org.